Hey everybody, welcome back to the Catholic Teacher Podcast. My name's Jonathan Doyle. Great to have the pleasure of your company for another episode. We've had some great guests in recent weeks, and today's no exception. We've got my really good friend Denise Brickler joining us from St. Louis, Missouri. We first met when I spoke at the NCEA convention. She is one of the people that is emblematic of all that's best about Catholic education. Her joy, her energy, her enthusiasm. And as you're going to hear in this interview, what Denise understands is the absolute engine room of what it takes to not just survive the Catholic education vocation, but to thrive in the Catholic education vocation. She has a Bachelor of Arts in Elementary Education from the University of Iowa. She's got an MTS in Theological Studies from Ave Maria University, an MA in Catholic School Leadership from St. Louis University, and she's currently doing her Education Doctorate in Catholic School Leadership. So this is somebody who has got a really strong academic formation, both in teaching. I love in this interview she talks about honing the craft of actual classroom teaching. She's had experience in a whole bunch of roles. This year she's teaching middle school, and you're going to hear at the start of the interview she's talking about what she most loves about that time in young people's lives, how that relates to catechesis. There's just so much in this, but really when we get to the meat of the interview, you're going to hear her talking about how she sustains her enthusiasm, her love for young people, their families, her colleagues. And towards the end of the interview, I ask her, I said, how do we replicate you? How do we take what Denise brings us and see that manifest in other Catholic teachers? So make sure you listen right through, because she really shares some great stuff with us. Now, housekeeping from me. Do me a big favor. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, would you do that for me now? Apple Podcasts, iTunes, used to be called Google Play, Android. We should be on Spotify very soon. There's a backlog there in submissions, but you can hopefully find us there very soon. Just subscribe to the podcast so that we can keep the episodes coming to you. There's also a sign-up box, hopefully on the website where you're seeing this, but subscribing would be a huge help. Look, we do a daily email. If you're not getting it, it'll be in the show notes. Just check out the show notes. There's a link to the daily email. It's what I do is I just find a great quote about Catholic education. I post one a day at 8 a.m., which I think you're going to really love, so make sure you're following that. Other news recently, I've just released my best-selling book, Tools and Fuels, as an audiobook. So we got in the studio, did a great audiobook version. So, you know, this morning I was out on my bike for a couple of hours listening to a really good audiobook from a great preacher. So look, if you're the kind of person that enjoys podcasts, enjoys listening to stuff in the car, then make sure you grab yourself a copy. It'll be in the show notes. There's a link. It could be on Audible by the time you hear this, but just check in the show notes. You'll see the link to the audiobook. Do that. Please come and join our Facebook group, Passionate Catholic Teachers. There'll be a link as well if you want to come and join us there. Just trying to build a really good Facebook community of committed, convinced, coherent, passionate Catholic teachers. So make sure you come and join us. You can find me on Twitter, of course, at BeingCatholic1. There'll be a link to that in the show notes too. If you'd like me to come and speak, I've done live keynotes now for over 400,000 people around the world. If you'd like me to come and speak at your diocese, I'm just heading to the US next week. I've got an 8-day speaking schedule starting in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Then I'm in Minnesota, Washington, New York, LA. So please, if you'd like me to come and speak to your staff at a diocesan event or at a school, sometimes you just got to get a few schools together to make it economically viable. Just get a few schools together and I'll come over and just really share a great message to encourage, inspire, and form your school community. I think that's everything. So let's press in. Denise, if you're listening to this, which I hope you are, thank you so much. You were a great blessing to me. I was really encouraged and inspired listening to you. I know the listeners are going to be as well. So everybody, let's do this, huh? Let's listen to my good friend Denise Brickler speak to us about the rich joys, the adventure, the highs and lows of Catholic education. So here we go. Next episode of the Catholic Teacher Podcast with me, your host, Jonathan Doyle. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Catholic Teacher Podcast. We have a very wonderful guest for you today, Denise Brickler, joining us all the way from St. Louis, Missouri. Denise, welcome to the Catholic Teacher Podcast.
Thank you, Jonathan, for having me. It is such a pleasure and an honor.
Well, thank you for staying up way past bedtime, or way past my normal bedtime anyway. So you're still sounding pretty alert this time of night?
Yes.
Is caffeine a big part of your life?
Maybe, yes.
It seems to be one of the secret things for Catholic teachers around the world is a deep relationship with Jesus and a strong affinity with caffeine.
Yes, I have a huge coffee cup that I fill in the morning, and it usually takes me about until 2:30 in the afternoon to drink it all. Yes.
I wanted to ask you, now we're going to explore so much good stuff around Catholic education, but I want to ask you, is it true that your dog's name is really Bark Bark?
Yes, Bark Bark the dog. She actually has her own Twitter account, and sometimes Bark Bark will tweet, and I won't know that she's tweeted.
Really? So who called Bark 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 Bark?
So this is a good story. I used to teach fifth grade language arts, and I had my students write dialogue. The mini lesson for the day was dialogue using quotation marks.
Right.
And one of my star pupils wrote this amazing dialogue between herself and her dog. And every time the dog spoke, she read out loud, "Bark, bark," said the dog. So I took that home and I started calling my dog Bark Bark. And now she is Bark Bark.
Wow. Okay. That's good. We've actually just added a dog to our family. So I have three very young children, and we've just added a dog because we wanted some more redemptive suffering in our life, and we figured that we'd add a puppy to the mix as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Catholic Teacher Dog Podcast, sharing news of beloved Catholic animals around the world. Denise, we have so much to talk about. You're one of my best memories of speaking at NCA in 2017. Your joy, your energy was just really memorable. So it was great that we could make contact and have some time together on the podcast. Look, one of the things we want to get to is really how you maintain your hope, energy, and enthusiasm, because I think, as you know, for many teachers, in the complexity of modern teaching, that can be hard to do. But I want to go back a little bit to the backstory. Just bring us up to speed. Your interest in Catholic education, your movement towards a vocation begins really early for you, doesn't it? Like way back in elementary school, you had some sense that the path of teaching might be a direction you take. So tell us about those first memories.
Absolutely. So when I was little, I used to play school in my room, and I was always the teacher, and my little brother was always the student. And I think God put on my heart that desire to be a teacher. And God would never give us the desire to do something that we wouldn't be very good at. And I grew up always knowing that I would be a teacher. Thank goodness it's worked out.
And has your brother gone on to become a professional student, or what did he do?
Actually, he has. He is still in school. He's like me. He just works on degrees and earns one, and then will work for a couple of years and then go back and start another one. So he is working on nursing right now.
Okay. And if we were to interview him, would he tell us you were a good teacher all those years ago?
I think so. Okay. But I would make him sit in the corner, because that's what I thought teachers did when I was 3 or 4 years old.
Wow.
Because, yeah.
So this year you're going to be teaching seventh grade. What are you most looking forward to in this coming year?
I love middle school students. Middle school students really are starting to form their personal relationship with Jesus, and they start to ask questions about life in general. And it's really good for me to be placed in this position to form these relationships with these middle school students. And I'm so excited for that. It's been a few years since I've taught teenagers. So I'm excited to get back there, and God placed me exactly where I'm supposed to be this year.
Now, this is a big year of change for you, because I mean, we were going to get to this later, but one of the things you're really passionate about is around boundaries, self-care for teachers. Take us through some of your recent experience. What changes have you gone through recently in your own teaching vocation?
So I taught for 16 years in the Archdiocese of St. Louis, and I felt called to pursue Catholic education, Catholic school leadership. So I earned my master's in Catholic school leadership and took a job as a Catholic school principal last year. So when I met you at NCEA, I had just been hired to be a Catholic school principal, and I was so excited. And I was a principal last school year until about January. January, I left the school and I spent the rest of the school year working in youth ministry, doing retreats for confirmation students and teenagers, and also substitute teaching because I felt God was calling me back to the classroom. Yeah. And that's exactly what I did for the rest of the school year. And he's placed me in a school, in Catholic school now this year, that I feel I'm supposed to be there, and it's good.
I want to pick up on something you mentioned a minute ago about this sort of, in the kind of Montessori tradition and the Catholic understanding of that, which is often, there's a thing called Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, which is a Christian interpretation of Montessori approach. There's a theory called sensitive periods, which is, there's an idea that at key moments in child and adolescent development, there's an openness, a window that isn't there at other times. You were talking before about students asking, you know, middle school students begin to ask questions, they begin to form this relationship with Jesus. What sort of questions do you notice them asking? What do you think is the sensitive period, the window, the opportunity there?
I think they start asking questions about how the Catholic Church doesn't mesh with what they see happening in our secular world. And so they'll ask questions because they don't understand, not because they disagree, but they really truly don't understand what the Catholic Church teaches about certain things that they might see peers or on media or their parents or their families living a certain way that doesn't mesh up to what the church teaches. So that's their period. And through the relationships that they form with strong Catholic educators and their youth minister, their pastors, the deacons in the church, really our job is to walk with them and accompany them to get to know Jesus through the church and see the beauty and the truth and the teachings of the church so that they can take that and live with Jesus in their life.
There's so much in what you're saying. I'm just listening to you carefully, and there's a beautiful line that I often talk about from the church documents, which on education, which is that what young people need is convinced and coherent educators. That I always love those two words, convinced and coherent, that we have to be convinced of the truth of the faith, and we have to be coherent in how we're communicating and how we're living. And also there's a great line from Fulton Sheen, where he, you know, famously said, he goes, there wouldn't be 100 people in the US who actually hate the Catholic Church, who genuinely hate the Catholic Church, but there's many more that hate what they think is the Catholic Church. Mm. And listening to you, you're highlighting this disjunct between what the church actually teaches, which is a catechetical question, and what young people assume it teaches, which for me makes your work missionary, right? I mean, can you speak to that a little bit for us? Like, I see you guys kind of on the missionary frontier at a new moment in history. Is that something of your experience?
Absolutely. And also it's being present with Christ and being authentic at that relationship with Jesus so that you are living authentically, so that just by looking at me as a Catholic school teacher, my students know that I know Jesus, that I don't have to tell them like, hey, I hung out with Jesus. He's my best friend. They know because they see my joy. Yeah. They see my reverence and respect for the church. They see that I love what I'm doing, that I'm called to do what I'm doing as a Catholic school teacher. And they see that, and it's authentic. I know that there's a disjunct with families too. And some families just are not churched, meaning they just don't know. They haven't been present in the Catholic Church. They left. And we need to get them back.
So what sustains you in this? Like, you have this, there's a characterological aspect with you from having met you. Like, there's an energy, a joy. Talking to you is like talking to my good friend Rose Pillay. If people haven't heard her recent interview, you bring an energy and a joy that's just partially natural, but it's deeper than that, right? So I was going to get to this towards the end, but how do you stop from getting cynical, from getting exhausted, from getting burned out? What has kept you going this long?
That's a great question, because I struggled with that last year as a Catholic school administrator. And I had to step back and say, this is not for me at this moment in time, because I was burning myself out thinking that I could do everything and fix everything and do it my way. So what keeps me sustained is my relationship with Jesus. And if possible, I go to daily mass. And I am so blessed to be in a school where 3 days a week, there's a 6:30 a.m. mass. Wow. And I am so blessed and lucky to just be there, because I haven't been in a school where that's been the practice. So daily mass, prayer. I have a pretty long drive to school. It's about a 45, 50 minute drive. So that's rosary. And it's prayer every day. I pray for my students. I pray for my students' families. I pray for my principal, the pastors. I pray for everyone in our Office of Catholic Education and Formation in the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Wow. Just every morning is devoted. And that's my relationship with Jesus. And that sustains me and it gets me through. Even like the hard times where I'm not sure that I'm doing what God is calling me to do, but I am, and it's good. God is good.
Well, I listened to you talking about praying for the students and praying for – it's funny that when you really pray for people consistently and daily, it's really hard to say this bluntly, to dislike them. It's kind of hard to – you tend to just progressively want to see the best in people if you're simultaneously praying for them as well, right?
Absolutely, yes.
I wanted to ask you, there must have been a real cross for you last year, because you were very excited about starting a leadership role. You've been humble and honest enough, even in this interview, to sort of say that there was an awareness that the timing wasn't right, that you had to ask for help. I'm without over-spiritualizing it, it's almost like the Paschal arc from Good Friday, Calvary into Resurrection. So take us through some of the hardship of that time. What did you learn through the journey?
So I left in January, and it wasn't quite Lent.